Welcome again to Advent Hope. I'm Kevin Dunn, your host, speaker for Advent Hope, and also the pastor of the local Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road. You're always welcome to come and check it out, see what it's about. Sometimes people kind of look at me a little quizzically when I mention that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And I know that I live in an area where there's a lot of churches represented. You know, I visit many of these churches. I've been to several Baptist churches. I've been to the Methodist Church. I've been to the Church of Christ. I've been to the Catholic Church. I've been to the Episcopalian Church up in Owensboro a number of times. In fact, I'm scheduled to preach there in a few weeks. And I've enjoyed my experience for the most part in all of these different churches. I look for the things we have in common, not for the things that divide us necessarily. But I enjoy meeting people in the different churches. And I can tell, after my years of experience as a pastor, who's genuine, who's the real deal as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, and who's just kind of going through the motions. But I want to kind of fit into a genre of books that I come across from time to time. Why I am a... Okay, and you fill in the blank. You know, and all of us, you know, when you think about it, whether you go to a Baptist church, whether you go to a Methodist church, whatever church you happen to go to, all of us, I hope, could give a good reason why you go to that particular church. And please, I hope it's not because you like the preaching as such. You know, it's okay to enjoy good preaching, good Bible preaching. And it's not just because you like a children's program or they have wonderful potluck meals. I hope that you go because you have a firm belief in the basic teachings of that particular church. Okay? So today I'm going to talk about why I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Like I say, there's a genre of books out there. Why I am a Baptist, why I am a Presbyterian, why I am a Methodist, why I am a Roman Catholic. I believe it's important for us to know the reasons why we believe the things that we believe and why we attend the church that we attend. Okay? Now, before I get started on this, I want to remind you again of our Celebrate Recovery program. It's Thursday night at 6 o'clock at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's when we have a supper, delicious meal, and then at 6:30 we begin the process of dealing with some of the issues that people deal with. And all of us have some kind of issues that we deal with, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a habit, whether it's just we need friendship, we're lonely, we just need to be with people. Come on out, check us out, see what it's about. No one's going to twist your arm to join our church or any other church. We just want to fellowship with you and enjoy some growth time together. So that's 6 o'clock Thursday night at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Love to see you there. Come on out, I'll be glad to meet you there. I call this topic, Why I Am a Seventh-day Adventist. And it's interesting, sometimes when I'm talking to people and they ask what I'm doing, I say, well, I'm a pastor. And of course, the next obvious question is, oh, really, where do you pastor? Well, I pastor the Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road. And they may look kind of quizzically at me and wonder, what's a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, that's what I'm going to try to attempt to answer today. And I want to ease your mind. I'm not going to sit here at the microphone at WXMZ and try to tell you that, well, you need to be a Seventh-day Adventist in order to go to heaven. I'm not going to say that. But I do want to present the case why I personally am a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, I've been away from you for a couple of weeks. I was down outside of Portland, Tennessee at what we call a camp meeting. It's at our Highland Academy where quite a lot of kids go to high school. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But we had what's called our annual camp meeting there, and I was assigned to work with kids, we call them the junior class, from age 10 to age 12, or give or take a year or two. And I had the privilege of dealing with these kids, and it was kind of a good experience dealing with these young people. But something I kind of observed as I was dealing with them is I seemed to be a natural fit there. For one thing, in some ways, I'm just a kid myself, okay? I like fun. I like to have, you know, good, clean fun. I like to romp around a little bit and like to tell stories and things like this. But also, I remember when I was that age. Now, I don't know how your kids are, assuming you have kids. A lot of kids, they're kind of troubled, and they get rambunctious, and they get stirred up, and they get kind of wild sometimes. And when I was that age, oh, let me just tell you, there were some teachers who hated me, okay? I was kind of a rough kid to be around. I was always trying to get attention. I was always trying to, you know, speak up, always trying to be funny, always trying to do what it could. I just loved getting attention as a kid. Well, What child doesn't? What kid doesn't? Okay? And so I kind of fit in with this junior class, we call them, the juniors, 10 years old to 12 years old, basically. Okay? But as I was there for the week dealing with these kids, it reminded me, it's good to be part of a community, good to be part of a faith community of people of like-minded minds. And these children were children of Seventh-day Adventists primarily, maybe with a few exceptions. And we were meeting at what we call it Highland Academy. Now, what is Highland Academy? It's a place, it's a Christian, it's Seventh-day Adventist sponsored place where kids of high school age go to get their high school education. I happened to be sitting down at lunch with a superintendent of our Adventist education system there in Kentucky and Tennessee. And she was saying that many, many people are leaving the public school system. They want to send their children to a parochial or Christian high school because they don't like what's being taught in our local high schools. Now, I can't say what's being taught here in Ohio County High School. I'm sure it's got some wonderful teachers and a good principal. I can't speak to that, but I know that across the nation, in many of our schools, a lot of wokeness is being taught, transgenderism, a lot of things that were not taught a few short years ago. And children are being subjected to this and being told that some of these things that we considered as aberrations not so long ago are being taught as normal to our children. And so a lot of kids these days, a lot of parents in particular, are sending their kids to these private schools where they can be taught religious values. They can be taught something about the Christian foundation of our nation. So there seems to be a widespread movement of taking our kids away from the public school system. And again, I'm not knocking our local public school system. I'm sure it's a fine place to send your kids. I remember hearing about the children meeting outside the flagpole, around the flagpole, and having prayer services. We live in a Bible Belt country, and it's usual to see these kind of things. But I was impressed by the fact that many people are sending their children to private schools because they want their kids taught with Christian foundations. They want their kids taught to be good Christian citizens. And so they're sending their children to private schools in many cases. Well, how does that tie in with my topic today? Being there with a lot of other Seventh-day Adventists kind of reaffirms my faith in who I am and what I believe and why. Why am I a Seventh-day Adventist? I could be a Baptist. I could have been a Methodist or a Roman Catholic. I could have been a member of the Church of Christ. I could have been a Presbyterian. I could have been a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. I could have been any number of things. But I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I could have been an atheist. I could have been an agnostic. I could have turned my back on Christian teachings and values altogether. But I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And when people ask me specifically what I am, I don't say Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I like to say I'm a Christian first, then a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay? In other words, I'm a follower of Jesus above all. The Lord Jesus is the one to whom I give my life, my heart, my ministry to. Seventh-day Adventist simply happens to be the church that I matriculate in, that I grew up in. And so when I try to answer the question, why am I a Seventh-day Adventist? I want to present it in the sense that I'm not claiming any sense of superiority. I'm not claiming that I'm saved and nobody else is saved. I'm not claiming that my church and the people of my church are better or more spiritual or more religious than other people. I'm simply saying that I have what I consider to be strong, positive reasons for being a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and in particular, a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so I hope that you'll listen along with an open mind and be patient. And again, we're not judging people of other faith communities. I know that there's several here in Ohio County. Of course, there's, again, Baptists and Methodists and Church of Christ and Presbyterians and Roman Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, okay? And we live in a beautiful country where you are free to attend the church of your choosing. And that's one of the beautiful things about America and one of the reasons why I love this country as I do, because we are free to worship as our conscience dictates to us. Okay, but the question still arises, out of all of these churches that I could be a part of, why am I a Seventh-day Adventist in particular? Okay, well, in one sense, the answer is easy, because I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist. I grew up in a home where my mother has been a devout Christian. She was a Methodist at one point in her life, and a devout Methodist, a very sincere, dedicated Christian. And at some time, a few years before I was born, she came under the conviction that she needed to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And I was born in, I call it a semi-Adventist home. My dad was not a practicing Christian. My mother was. There were religious wars in the family, you know, where my mother wanted us to go to church and on the Sabbath, that would be Saturday, and my dad would find all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't go to church. And as a child, of course, I thought it was always more fun to stay home and watch Roadrunner and Superman than it was to go to a church service. But I remember going to church as a young child and singing the songs, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then after a few years in one grade, I would graduate to the next higher level, and finally I would be an adult in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I remember in third grade, I was about 9 years old, and my mother came to the school where I was attending, and it was a Seventh-day Adventist church school up in Cadillac, Michigan, and she brought my younger sister and myself our very first Bibles. I believe I was 9 years old. And I remember her handing these Bibles to my teacher, and my teacher giving these Bibles to my sister and myself. And the Bible became a major part of my education as I grew up. I started reading the Bible. I started reading the details. And I remember, you know, not understanding a lot of it. I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, you know, letters written in red, Jesus' words. And, well, they kind of made sense, but I didn't really understand a lot about it. And so I went through phases in my life as I grew up where I was deeply reading the Bible, and other phases where I kind of, you know, gave it up, didn't read much of it. But I continued to read the Bible, and the more I read the Bible, the more I was impressed that this was truly the Word of God. And it was when I was, I believe, 18 years old. I was living alone at the time, and there was a severe thunderstorm like northern Michigan has sometimes. It was an ice storm, and all the electricity in the area had gone out. And I was living in what essentially was a one-room, a renovated garage. They had a bedroom off to one side and a kitchen and a bathroom off to the other side. And the lights were off, and it was lit up by candles. And I picked up a Bible, and I started reading the story of Jesus. And I was reading John 17, where he was praying for his disciples that they may be one, that they may worship the only true God. And he said, "Thy word is truth," John 17. And I was reading that, and I was so impressed by the truth that Jesus was saying he is one with the Father. He wants his disciples to be one, even as he is one with the Father. But what caught me was the intense love, the powerful love that he had for his church, in this case, his disciples. And his disciples with all of their flaws and all of their weaknesses, and he loved them so intensely. And I was catching the fervor, the sense of passion in his voice as he was praying for his disciples. And I began to realize the gospel isn't just about a list of doctrines. Okay, you believe your things, I believe my things. But the story of Jesus is about God who took on human flesh, came to this earth, and became the ultimate revelation of God's love to humanity. In fact, the Gospel of John is where Jesus is recorded as saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16, most precious verse is called. And I began to realize this religion thing, this Christianity, is not just about being a member of this church or that church. I believe when Jesus comes, and he will come, I believe that when he comes in the clouds of glory, the first thing he's going to say is not, "What church did you belong to?" Whether it's my church, whether it's your church, whether it's no church. He's not going to ask, did you go to the right church? What's going to be evident then is, are you one of his? Do you have Christ in your heart? Are you living in relationship to him? Do you have faith in his saving power? Not that we don't stumble sometimes, not that we always get it right, but do you have faith in Jesus Christ? That's going to be the criteria. And has it led you to a life of obedience as best you understand what obedience is? what it means to truly obey Christ. Now, there's a place in Matthew 7 where he talks about many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many great signs and wonders? Didn't we do cast out demons? Didn't we do miracles? And he says to those people who thought they knew the Lord, he says to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So it's not enough to make claims about being religious, regardless of what church you happen to belong to. My church, your church, doesn't matter. It's not an issue of what your church label is. It's an issue, what do you really believe, and are you living up to what you believe? And are you earnestly searching for a deeper, stronger relationship with Jesus? So I say that from the beginning here to acknowledge that I don't know everything. You don't know everything. Life is a journey. Life is an adventure. And especially our experience with God, we continue to grow in our knowledge. We continue to grow in our learning. Okay, so I'm born into a Seventh-day Adventist or a semi-Seventh-day Adventist home. I'm given my first Bible at 9 years old. From that point on, the Bible, and of course, you know, Bible story books, you know, children's books on the Bible, all of these were entrenched in me as I grew up. My mother, you know, wouldn't send us to school until she had had devotional with us. She read to us from the 10-volume Bible stories. You know, you see the first volume sometimes in dentists and doctors' offices, volume one, Uncle Arthur's Bible story. Excuse me. And so I grew up under that type of environment in my home. Seventh-day Adventist teaching, but more important, teachings about Jesus, his plan for us, how he loves us, how he's God's ultimate expressions for us. And it's true, I wandered in the world off and on, and I had to be converted as an adult. But it wasn't until I began to understand God's intent love for us that I began to understand how obedience is not the root of my salvation, but it is the fruit of a saved experience. And so when I talk about obedience to God's laws, God's commandments, I do so not in the sense of I'm saved because I obey, but I talk in the sense of I obey because I'm saved. I'm born again. I've received Jesus into my life. Lord, Savior, everlasting, loving friend. Okay? So I always want to approach it from that angle, that I'm a child of God. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, not because I consider myself superior, not because it's something I've earned or deserve, but because I believe it's a church, it's faith, it's a faith congregation that I'm privileged to be a part of. Okay? So what about the specific teachings? Now, people look at me a little odd sometimes. What do you mean you keep the seventh-day Sabbath? You know, everybody knows you go to church on Sunday. That's been our tradition. That's been our culture. That's the way my parents and grandparents worshipped. That's, you know, you Seventh-day Adventists, you're just making too much of this Saturday thing, okay? And you get that sometimes. And I appreciate where that comes from. But for my money, as I've grown up reading the Bible since being 9 years old, the same Sabbath that was established at creation, and the same Sabbath that the prophets endorsed throughout the Old Testament, and the same Sabbath that Jesus and the apostles all through the New Testament, and I know some people would bring up an argument about that. I assure you, they're weak. But the same Sabbath that starts in Genesis and carries us all the way into Revelation is the same Sabbath that I observe today. I was sitting talking with some friends of mixed religious principles, denominations up in Owensboro the other day. And there was some Episcopalian, and there was one that goes to another church, and I got friends that go to Methodist churches. And sometimes when the full group is together up there, Wednesday morning, I go up to Owensboro, we talk to a group. Some are Methodist, some are Episcopalian, some are other denominations. And one of the gentlemen, as we were talking, they were talking about the Ten Commandments. And I happen to bring up, and then, of course, there's the fourth commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And my buddy Phil, he says, Kevin, yeah, I've mentioned this before, you Seventh-day Adventists are the ones that got the day right. Well, I appreciated that, and I acknowledge the truthfulness of that. Now, when we talk about Seventh-day Adventists got the right day of worship, it's not just Seventh-day Adventists. There's groups of Seventh-day Baptists, Seventh-day Church of God. There's other Seventh-day observing days. We call them Sabbatarians if you choose. But there's other Sabbath-keeping organizations besides the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we just happen to be the biggest one. By the way, if you happen to go online because you're curious, and I hope that this is generating a little bit of curiosity, if you happen to go online and Google in Seventh-day Adventists, who are they? Please don't take what you see on the internet at face value. You could do this with just about any church, you know, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, whatever. And most people that go online, when you check out somebody's religious beliefs, they're going to start with the negative. They're going to start with, a lot of times, half-truths, out-of-context things. They're going to start off with a negative approach. You know, and Seventh-day Adventists are no less subject to that than other groups that are not well-known. Okay? And so when you go online and you type in Seventh-day Adventists, don't just take people's word for what's written on the internet, because again, people tend to be negative. People tend to be critical. They tend to be down upon what they're not up on. Okay? So if you type in Seventh-day Adventists, always take what you read with a grain of salt. One good place you want to go to is Adventist.org. If you want to know more about my church from an official website, Adventist.org, and you'll find an official site about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I encourage you to do that if you're curious, all right? But I happen to keep the seventh-day Sabbath because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. When I was in Israel a few weeks ago, the tour guide, he made a comment that I'll always remember. He said, when you study the Bible, you know, the old saying, the devil is in the details. You've heard that before? The devil is in the details. And that's what we usually talk about when we're talking about contract signing and things like that. The devil is in the details. When you read the Bible, the truth is in the details. Or as he said, God is in the details. And a lot of people, unfortunately, know just enough about the Bible that they're willing to accept tradition and things that have been handed down generation after generation as gospel truth. But when you carefully study what the Bible says about a topic such as the Sabbath, such as the Second Coming, such as, you know, many other doctrines that have been taught consistently throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, when you carefully read the details, you find out that the Bible is extremely consistent with itself. You know, one of the issues as we confront as we read the Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament, what is continued and what is discontinued in terms of faith practices by the people of God, Old Testament Jews, New Testament Christians? What is characterized by continuity and what is characterized by discontinuity? Now, I hope I have your minds thinking right now. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people under the Old Covenant were obliged to observe a lot of practices, a lot of sacrificial system things. They were called upon to observe a lot of things that are rather foreign to us in our modern culture today. But one problem a lot of people have is they conflate the Old Covenant with the Old Testament. Follow me carefully here. The Old Testament and the Old Covenant are not one and the same. The Old Testament is still God's inspired word. It has teachings in it that are still relevant to us today. That's why Jesus in the wilderness in his temptations, he quotes from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's why all through the New Testament, you find again and again, Jesus, Paul, the other writers of the New Testament, they're quoting from the Old Testament as the inspired word of God. So something that the Old Testament teaches on ethics, what it teaches on observance of God's commandments, what it teaches about responding to God in love by obeying his commandments, this was nothing new in the New Testament. The Old Testament was the Bible that they used during the age of the New Testament. And the Old Testament commandments, the Ten Commandments, you know, not just a movie produced by Cecil B. DeMille, but it was the standard by which we are to live today, the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay? So I'm a Seventh-day Adventist partly because of my firm belief that the seventh-day Sabbath is still God's holy Sabbath. It's still a sanctified, blessed day as he established it back in creation, long before there was a covenant with the Jews on Mount Sinai. I'm also a Seventh-day Adventist because I believe in the imminent second coming of Jesus. Every book in the New Testament refers to the second coming of Jesus in one form or another. Just like every book in the New Testament refers to the literal death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. It may not say it in so many words, but what's amazing to me is how people can deny the truthfulness of the New Testament. And I know that there's modern liberal scholars who will say that Jesus never was resurrected, or they'll say that some will even say he never existed. This is foolishness to me. This just proves that they haven't found the truth in the details. It's interesting to me, you know, and I know I'm wandering a little bit, but the truthfulness of the Bible, and this goes back to why I'm a Christian in the first place, because the literal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is confirmed again and again and again throughout the New Testament, and it's actually spoken of in the Old Testament. I mean, excuse me, you read Psalm 22, you read Isaiah 53, you read other portions of the Old Testament that predict the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You see, the Bible has a self-authenticating characteristic to it. As you read the Bible, and it's not just the fulfilled prophecies, of which there are many, but you read the Bible and there's an authenticating principle or characteristic in it. You read the Bible in the New Testament, just to take that for one example, and again and again and again, all of the authors of the New Testament believed wholeheartedly in the literal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Many of them were witnesses to this event. And yet you have people today that say, well, you can't believe the Bible. Well, I believe the Bible. And I believe in the Seventh-day Adventist approach to the Bible, looking for the truth in the details. Looking for the truth in the details. That's why it's incumbent upon us not just to go to church. All right, ready for this? Don't just go to church. I'm sure you have a wonderful, fine preacher who does his or her best to preach the truth from God's Word. Study the Bible for yourself. Look for the details in the writings. Be prepared to have your mind opened, your brain sharpened, your spiritual resources strengthened as you read the Bible as God's inspired Word to you. Well, that's what happened to me through the course of my life. Yes, I was born into a Seventh-day Adventist home, but the question could arise, well, why are you still a Seventh-day Adventist? Because I believe that God has placed me in this particular faith community as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, putting my Christian experience, my love for Jesus, my belief in the gospel first and foremost, but finding its strongest potential growth in the Seventh-day Adventist community. Because seventh day, the Sabbath, Adventist, second coming of Jesus, those two core principles that ignite my faith, that strengthen me as I go from victory to victory. So, the Sabbath truth, the second coming of Jesus, which I believe is coming soon. Now, most every church gives some kind of a head nod to it. I don't hear a lot of talk about it much anymore in most churches. Most churches I attend will get saved, you know, be a better person. All this is good. But to have before us, to live in the light of the second coming of Jesus, the greatest, most dramatic event in the history of the earth, the Bible describes it in every book of the New Testament and sometimes in the Old Testament. Okay? If you think I'm kidding, send me a message, and I'll get back to you on that. Advent Hope, P.O. Box 315, Beaver Dam. Send a message, and if you have a question on this, be delighted to answer it. But I'm glad you've chosen to listen to Advent Hope today. I hope that something that has been said today stimulates your thinking, because God's looking for a thinking people, not just a bunch of lemmings that, well, I go to this church or that church because that's where my parents went and that's where I've gone all my life. And no, sometimes God calls you out of these churches to go into a deeper Bible-believing church, okay? We need to be responsible for our own spiritual growth. Because ultimately, when you stand before the judgment throne, you're not going to stand there with your pastor. You're not going to stand there with your parents. It's going to be you and Jesus, okay? And so we want to make sure that we've done all we can to continue to learn the truth from God's Word. We want to see the details. And when we study the details, we discover that we need to unlearn some things and maybe relearn some things. So I encourage you to be a student of the Bible, okay? Take time every day. Read it for yourself. Am I concerned about what translation? Not necessarily. I know there's many versions of the Bible out there. I do concern with what I call sectarian versions that are made just for the people of a particular faith group. Read a Bible. Study it. Let it be God's Word speaking to you. I recommend studying books like Romans and in John. Some have said that Romans starts revivals and John feeds them. You know, good place to start. But be students of the Bible, and I assure you that God will open your mind to new truth. He will enlighten you. He will strengthen your understanding. He will help you to be a more dedicated, more sincere, devout Christian, and a lover of Jesus. Hey, thanks for listening to Advent Hope. I hope that something has given you spiritual strength today, that it's enlightened your mind. I hope that you'll tune in each week for Advent Hope. I'm Kevin Dunn, your host. Come see us at church out on Goshen, 9:30 Saturday morning. God bless you. Have a great day.